God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Today and tomorrow, Dr. Larry Spargimino will be visiting with Gary Paul Miller, author of a new book entitled The Way of Cain. Brother Gary is a Bible teacher at Grace Harbor Church in Chicagoland, Illinois. His father, Gary Miller, has been on the program in the past. Brother Larry, please tell us about the book.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and greetings to all in our listening audience. Gary Paul Miller has written a really excellent book, and I'm excited about it. I've been reading it and looking at the scriptures and the conclusions and where Gary Miller takes us. The book is called The Way of Cain, The Creation of Man's Religion. And we need to remember, friend, that even those who claim to be atheists, who are not believers, they claim they are not Christian, whatever, they have their own religion, but it's not their true religion once delivered to the saints. And we praise the Lord for this really excellent book. In a little while, we'll have Jerry come to the mic and tell you how you can get your own copy of the book. Gary, thank you so much for being on the air with us.
Oh, yes. Hello, Larry. Thank you for having me on today and for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, great. I'm really excited about having you share some of this material because it's really good. You know, it's called The Way of Cain, and that's tucked way back there in the Old Testament. A lot of people don't look at it, and they kind of forget that Jesus and others in the New Testament refer to it. So tell us, what made you write a book on Cain and Abel?
Well, you know, Larry, this book came about because I always had a question. You know, and the question was, why did Cain bother to go to the altar? You know, I had always viewed him as like a rough, mean, unbelieving, you know, unshaven man who wanted to do things his own way. So I had the question, you know, why did he go to the altar? Because he didn't have to. And that question sent me on a journey into the scriptures to find the answers. God tells us to study his word in 2 Timothy 2:15. And, you know, God wrote his word for us. He preserved it down through the centuries for us so we can have it today in our hands. And he tells us to study it. And in 1 Corinthians 2:13, he tells us to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And so with this question in hand, I went into the scriptures and looked into the scriptures to see what the Lord had to say about Cain and Abel and about this question as to why Cain went to the altar. And when I realized the answer to this question, I soon, you know, knew I had to write a book and expose Cain for who he was and why Cain went to that altar. And these are important truths for everyone to know. And I'm pleased to be on the air today with you, Larry, to talk about these things.
Well, that's a wonderful way to start off because it is really, really important that we look at man's religion and answer that question, why did he go to the altar? The altar being a place of worship and devotion to God. Now, of course, some people do it. It's not devotion to the true and living God. But in Jude 11, at the very beginning, we read these words, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Now, tell us about the way of Cain and what we learn about this from the Genesis account and why it's important for us to know all about this today.
Yes, it's important for us to understand who Cain was and the way he started. And like you just said, Larry, and Jude writes about this, and Jude was written, you know, thousands of years after the life of Cain. And yet Jude writes about a way that Cain started that still persists today and influences all of mankind, in fact. And the important thing about this way of Cain that we need to understand is that God pronounces woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain in Jude 11. That woe there is one of condemnation and damnation of those who are following the way of Cain. And we need to be understand what this way of Cain is so we don't find ourselves or our relatives following in this way of Cain, because if they are found in that way, there's a woe unto them that is terrible. In Matthew 23:33, when Christ talks to the Pharisees there, he's talking about that woe, and in the end of that verse, he says, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" That those in that way of Cain are on a destination of hell. And for those of us who understand how terrible hell is and what a eternal tormented place that's going to be for those who are there, we need to understand what this way of Cain is so we can avoid it.
Well, that is such good counsel because, you know, Gary, as I listen to people who call, they're really upset about their churches and about what's happening in maybe their denomination or their group or whatever. It seems like pastors, unfortunately, are getting away from warning the flock. And one of the things that I, as a pastor, I'm still pastor, I've pastored for almost 50 years, one of the things that I really believe is part of my calling is to warn and to exhort and to, to tell people, hey, this is something that you don't want to get into. And this verse in Jude 11a, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. You know, we are so interested in entertainment today that warning just seems like a sour note. Let's not kill all the fun.
You're right, Larry, in that. There's not much warning today in the pulpits of most preachers today. There's a lot of warning in the scriptures, though.
Absolutely.
Hell is real, and our eternal future is at stake here, which with what we believe. And we need to warn people about the choices that they make in life and where their faith is resting in.
I know there have been so many ways that people have cleverly, and I call it cleverly in a very negative way, you know, like the devil is clever, to supposedly demythologize hell or to say, well, that's just, you know, if you're having a bad day, your girlfriend left you, or you got a flat tire on the interstate, it was raining, it was icy, you broke down in a bad spot, that's hell. Well, that's certainly not hell if we believe the word of God. And one of the personages in the Bible who said the most about hell is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. Jesus was even warning about that. So you're absolutely right. We need to get back to exhortation and warning. But Gary, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say about Cain?
Well, you know, that's interesting, Larry. You know, we can learn a lot from Cain in the Genesis account. And I go over a lot of that, the factual information in my book. And I talk about his name and what his name means as compared to Abel. And I talk about their occupations and how that plays into who they were and how they were growing up. But it's not until we get to the Lord Jesus Christ that we actually can see and understand exactly who Cain was. The Lord Jesus Christ comments on Cain in Matthew chapter 23. And from that chapter is a chapter basically from verse 13 down where Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, the most religious, upright, good, self-righteous men of their time. And Christ is condemning them, that whole chapter there. And then when we get down to verse 35, Christ says to them that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Here in this verse, we have Christ laying at the feet the blood of all the righteous people that have been shed upon the earth. And at the end of that verse, he says, whom ye slew. Christ is saying here that a Pharisee slew Abel. That's profound in our understanding of who Cain was. Cain wasn't just a vagabond walking around. He was a righteous man, a Pharisee, the Lord calls him. Ye slew Abel. That's something that's really important for us to know and to understand. Cain was a religious man, and he was trying to give God his best and do good, and he was full of his own self-righteousness, just like these Pharisees were.
Yeah, I was just saying, the scripture is very powerful there in verse 35, you know, ye slew. So the Pharisees, these religious hypocrites, in fact, they're the ones that Jesus said so many negative and even very severe things about. The Pharisees are the ye that Christ identifies as the murderers of his righteous servants. Christ goes all the way back, as you say in your book, to the slaying of Abel when he says to the Pharisees, ye slew. What a tremendous statement. Now, what is it about the Pharisees that make them so hateful in the sight of God and their evil so egregious and severe?
Well, what Pharisees are, they're people who are given to trying to earn eternal life through their own good works. and they look to have eternal life based on their own human goodness, and they try and clean themselves up. In Romans chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Pharisees are people that do religious works, and they come up with ways where they think they can earn eternal life. You know, they'll come up with works such as, you know, they'll take vows of poverty, or they'll live humbly, or they'll give money, they'll go on pilgrimages. They'll come up with all these different ways whereby they seek to earn eternal life through their own self-righteousness. And we know what God says about man's self-righteousness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, God says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness, in Isaiah says, God views it as just filthy rags. And these Pharisees, people today who are trying to please God in their own good works, are not listening to God's word in what he says about man's good works.
That's so powerful, because I'm looking right at page 44 here. You say this, and it's so true. This may come as a shock to most people. Cain did not appear as an unsightly, base creature given to crude vices. He didn't look like the kind of person who was smoking pot and telling dirty jokes.
Exactly.
And, he was kind of a clean-cut guy, really, you know, nice-looking. He wanted to worship and so on and so forth. And I believe that's exactly what we have in so many churches today. Some churches are just, you know, they're so filled with nice people. You know, they're squeaky clean. Their fingernails are clean. They're the men. They have white shirts. You don't see a drop of coffee, tomato sauce, or anything. But they've never surrendered and admitted that, hey, I am a sinner and I deserve the wrath of God. We're going to get right back to Gary Miller. Let's get our announcer, Jerry, to come to the mic. Jerry, I know our listeners might have to be leaving. They may be in a car or whatever. Tell us right now how they can get The Way of Cain, The Creation of Man's Religion.
The three ways to contact us are telephone, mail, and the Internet. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address is swrc.com. The 165-page book is offered for a gift of $15 in the U.S., $17 in Canada. Contact us as soon as the program is over to get your copy. Here again is Dr. Spargimino.
Gary, we were talking about Cain looked so good and so clean, and so I guess he probably was kind of clean-shaven and clean fingernails. Do you think that sometimes religion, and I don't consider myself religious. In fact, a lot of people say, well, Mr. Spargimino, you're a very religious person. And I say, no, 1,000 times. But do you think that religion today, you know, where we have all of these religious people, some may have robes, some may fast, some may shave their heads, you know, and as Paul says in Colossians, it appears very good, very holy, but it is of no value to the subduing of the flesh and to making us right with God. Do you think that religion today is maybe deceiving lots of people?
Oh, yes, they are, Larry. There's a way that was started by Cain that has continued down until today. And religion is leading men to hell and damnation. They say they're leading men to heaven, but they're not. They're leading men to a place of that God has condemned. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Cain's way is large and wide, and it's been made that way because billions of people have been traveling down Cain's way of self-righteousness and self-goodness and trying to earn salvation and earn eternal life through their own goodness. And religion has deceived man. And the religious leaders of today stand in the way of that broad way, directing the traffic. And they tell people there's heaven at the end, but according to the scriptures, there's nothing but hell and fire at the end of this way of Cain. And it's something that we need to be well aware of and acquainted with so that we can stand up against it. And we need to stand up against the false doctrine of Cain and man's self-centered and self-righteousness with the Word of God. And we need to proclaim the Word of God loudly and clearly and give a clear testimony of what the gospel is so we can help direct people out of the way of Cain and into the way of God. Because God has His way of salvation, and His way is, as you have mentioned a little earlier, is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that, yes, we are sinners, and we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, and He came and died on that cross and shed His blood for our sins. And now He was buried and rose again, and He offers eternal life. Not to those who are good or those who are self-righteous, but He offers eternal life to those who will simply believe in His blood and what He did for us on that cross. We have a wonderful message of salvation which stands directly opposed to what Cain taught. And unfortunately, even though Cain died several thousand years ago, there's a lot of men who have followed in his footsteps, Cain's men, and they stand up and proclaim a gospel of self-righteousness, and we need to stand opposed to them with the truth of the gospel, Larry.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. If you tell a lost person, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and so on and so forth, that kind of makes sense to him because he thinks he's pretty good. I mean, you know, in his own estimation, he said, well, if I just try a little bit harder, maybe I'll give some money, maybe I'll read two or three books. That sounds so good. But if you tell a person, you're a wretched, dirty sinner, Isaiah 64:6, your best works are as filthy rags. The only thing you can do is fall where you are and cry out to Jesus Christ for mercy that He would forgive you for your sins. Now, that's really humbling. That's hard for a person to do. So religion, I believe, is very attractive. You know, if you tell some people, well, you've got to dedicate 1 year or 2 years of your life to handing out tracts, riding a bicycle, having a nice white shirt, going around, knocking on doors, supporting your church, and so on and so forth. If you do that, you'll get to heaven. Guess what? There are a lot of young men who are energetic and idealistic, and they say, yeah, I can do that. And that's exactly what we have today, isn't it? But if you tell a man, look, in God's sight, you're so dirty, you don't even have any claim on heaven. But then you tell him, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That is what's the stumbling block. And you know, Gary, I've often said the most difficult message of the gospel is grace. I think there are so many people today who still don't know what grace is.
You're right, Larry. Grace is God's freedom to freely give us all things, not based on who we are, but based on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And religion plays to man's pride. And man likes to be puffed up, and man likes to think he can put his fingerprints on his salvation somehow. But we can't. We always ruin it with sin. And we're very fortunate God is a God of grace and peace. And through His grace, He's offering salvation today to a world that has rejected Him. We have to remember this world, when Jesus Christ came, this world crucified Him and put Him on a cross and killed Him and said, we don't want God to rule with us or over us. And yet God, in His great mercy and graciousness, is offering salvation to men today through that blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful Lord and Savior, don't we, Larry?
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, all praise and honor go to Him. You know, we one day in the future we'll be casting our crowns at His feet. And guess why? Because He's really given those crowns to us. We really don't deserve anything that we have from Almighty God. But let me ask you a question. Are there Pharisees today, and what are their characteristics? Do they have long beards and wear robes, or maybe what do they look like? What do they say? How do they live?
Yeah, Pharisees come in all shapes and sizes today, Larry. You'll find people who preach man's goodness on your talk shows that are on television. You'll find people who preach a gospel of man's goodness and self-righteousness in the different religions of the world. You find it preached in our school systems, whether it's in the high schools or in the colleges. We're constantly bombarded by Cain's way and Cain's ministers preaching and telling people that if you're good, if you just do enough good in your life, you can earn salvation, you can earn eternal life. So we find Pharisees today everywhere. And this way of Cain is broad and wide, and it's encompassing of all the religions. You know, anything that's outside of God's word will find its way in the way of Cain. And there's really only two ways. There's the way of Cain and the way of God. And the way of Cain is out there today, and it's alive and active. And as we said earlier, we need to stand against it with the word and the truth of God's word, and point people off the way of Cain and come to them with the good news of God's salvation.
Amen. Well, you know, there's, and I know I'm just speaking rhetorically, but the New Age movement, you know, they talk about getting away from the institutional church. We don't want form. We want freedom and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, as I've analyzed their lifestyle and what they teach, they are works-oriented. For example, okay, you've got a chant. Maybe you need to hold some beads and mumbo-jumbo on those beads, eat bean sprouts and tofu. Now, by the way, I like bean sprouts and tofu. I'm not against bean sprouts and tofu. My wife is Asian. We eat a lot of that. But I don't do that out of a religious desire to earn salvation, okay? So I'm not talking, you know, against those good foods. But on the other hand, some people make that a requirement, and I know they move away into their communes and they wear long white robes and sandals, and you know they write letters home to mommy and daddy. You know, I'm following the way of God. Now I've cut myself off from society. I'm fasting every day. We just drink water and so on and so forth. And they think they're getting closer to God. They're actually slipping slowly and silently into hell. That's the deception of Satan.
Yes, it is, Larry, and that's exactly why I wrote this book, is to warn people and to expose the way of Cain for what it is and who its founder was, and its founder was Cain. And the way of Cain may preach, you know, a way of loving and kindness and loving one's neighbor, but it's really built upon a murderer, a man that shed the blood of Abel. And the way of Cain does not lead to heaven and bliss. It leads to hell. And like you said, all those works that people are doing, they're thinking they're earning righteousness, but their righteousness will be counted as filthy rags when they're judged by the Lord.
Would the way of Cain, your book, be a good gift to give to a lost religious person, do you think?
Oh, yes, I think this book would be great.
I do too, by the way.
We know there's Christians have a heart for the lost, and, you know, we'll give, you know, lost relatives and people a Bible or a Bible tract. Well, this book is another tool that can be used to give to someone.
Well, that's a good way of summarizing and closing our first program. Gary, we're going to have you back for another broadcast, but let's get our announcer, Jerry Giltner, to the mic. Brother Jerry, how may our listeners get The Way of Cain?
Brother Larry, there are three ways to get the 165-page book: phone, mail, or the Internet. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, P.O. Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. The Way of Cain is available in appreciation of your $15 contribution if you live in the United States, $17 in Canada. Brother Gary Paul Miller demonstrates unusual insights on one of the earliest men on earth to reject the sovereign God of the universe. Gary has subtitled the book, The Creation of Man's Religion. Once you've read this intriguing book, you'll understand what he means by that. Call, write, or go online today for your copy of The Way of Cain. You may also want the two programs in this series. They're available on CD for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 in Canada. To get the book, the programs, or both, give us a call at 1-800-652-1144. The call center is open from 4 in the morning until 6 in the evening, Central Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. At other hours, leave a message on the voicemail. And the website address on the Internet is swrc.com. Stay tuned for today's Bible in the News report over most of these stations on your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Ministries. Welcome to today's Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. We report on a recent news story and relate it to the Bible. Today's speaker is Dr. Bob Glaze.
In the Genesis account of creation, God commanded Adam to do four things. Cultivate the garden, guard it, eat of it except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and name the animals. And although the Lord brought forth all the different types of vegetation to cover the earth on the third day, he had no one to dress and keep it until the sixth day when he created man. Then God planted a garden eastward in Eden and placed Adam in it to dress it and keep it. There was no weeds, no bugs, no plant disease, no need for fertilizer, and no thieves to steal his produce. This was the first organic garden in God's natural greenhouse. However, soon Adam sinned and the trouble began. He was kicked out of the garden, thorns and thistles appeared, and he had to labor 6 days a week just to keep up. In modern times, Monsanto appeared and told mankind that he had a better idea. They would produce plants that were disease-resistant, drought-resistant, weed-resistant, and could produce more than enough genetically altered food to feed the entire world without God's help. But the catch is they would not bring forth crops after their own kind. Therefore, you would have to buy their seeds to plant every year, and the farmer would have to depend upon them and not God. Enter the modern organic farm. In an article appearing in the business section on April 8, 2012, issue of The Oklahoman, entitled Interest in Organic Farming Grows, describes how the battle against genetically altered food is being waged. The article reports the success of Susan Graff, an organic farmer who owns Crestview Farms in Arcadia, Oklahoma. At Crestview Farms, she says, her family's 26-acre operation in Arcadia, she tends daily to so many different crops it's hard to keep count. Tomatoes, spinach, broccoli, carrots, turnips, onions, leeks, and garlic peak from the earth in various stages of growth. The greenhouse is filled with dozens of varieties of herb and salad greens, with an orchard that shows promise of grapes, pears, peaches, and apples as the weather warms. This farm is one of 75 certified farms in Oklahoma out of a total of over 17,000 in the entire United States and less than 29,000 worldwide. Because of organic farming rules, the farmer has to depend upon natural pest predators such as wasps and ladybugs to keep natural pests at bay. Recertification is an annual event and includes testing such as site visit and soil testing. The garden must use no synthetic fertilizer. Sewage, sludge, irradiation, and genetically engineered seeds are plants. For fertilizer, they may include fish emulsion and kelp-based fertilizer that are both approved by the Organic Materials Review Institute. The modern certified organic garden is much like the garden Adam was responsible for after the fall and expulsion from the Garden of Eden, which now include the addition of sweat, pest, and weeds.
That's today's Bible in the News report of Southwest Radio Ministries. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly publication, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or go online. The website is swrc.com. Be here for our next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.